Amen. You might want to turn me down just a little bit because I can get a little loud. I won't be your normal. Amen. I'm sure those, the new guest here today, amen, praise God. If you've never been in a messianic congregation, amen. We just come to worship God, amen, me and my wife. My name is David Durham. This is probably my third time. Amen. In my ministry since 07, I preached my first message in 07, and I gave my heart back in 05. Amen. And God has brought me a long way, and God will continue to bring me and open up doors for me. Amen. And open up doors for us. Are you ready for the Word of God this morning? Say amen. Amen. If we could all stand, I want you to turn your Bibles to John chapter 10. John chapter 10. When you get there, say amen. Amen. John chapter 10. Amen, amen, I tell you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in some other way, is a thief and a robber. But he who enters through the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice. The shepherd calls his own sheep by name. He leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes ahead of them. And the sheep follow him because they know his voice. They will never follow a stranger, but will run away from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. Yeshua told them this parable, but they did not understand what he was telling them. So Yeshua said again, "Amen, amen, I tell you, I am the gate of the sheep. All those who come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate. If anyone comes in through me, he will be saved. He will come and go and find pasture. The thief cometh only to steal, to slaughter, and destroy. I have come that they might have life and have it abundantly." Yeshua, I pray, God, Lord, that you would anoint this message, God, as we get into your word just for a brief moment of time, God, as we clear our minds, God, clear our hearts, God. I pray today, God, Lord, that you would take your Ruach, God, that you would take your Spirit, anoint my lips, move me out of the way, God, that your message may be brought forth in a way, God, to touch each and every one of our hearts here this morning. God, I pray this morning, God, Lord, that if anyone not know who you are, God, I pray, Lord, that they would give their life to you, Lord, that we would all recognize who you are, Yeshua, God, the Messiah, God, Lord, and we would all come and worship you because you're worthy. In Yeshua's name, amen. You may be seated this morning. The title of this message, I preached this last week at our church, is The Door. And this morning, or this afternoon, whatever way you want to look at it, amen, I'm just surprised I'm not saying not as nervous as I am, amen. I remember the first time I ministered, I said night at least 50 times, and it was broad daylight. And I kept on saying night, I kept on saying night, and I said, I'm going to get this right sooner or later, amen, because when the Spirit of God comes, nervousness leaves, amen, amen. So I don't know where you are today. I don't know where you stand today, but God has a door that is opening to His people. Amen. Help me out just a little bit. I know I'm not your normal, amen. I get a little bit excited and my voice goes up, my voice goes down. So you got to bear with me because I'm excited about what God is doing. I'm excited about what Yeshua is doing. Amen. There is a door open, and there is doors opening, and there are doors closing. And I don't know where you are this morning. I don't know where you stand this morning, but there's something that God wants to bring to us. There's something that God wants us to realize through John chapter 10 as we go into the Word. And the first thing God mentions here when He begins to speak is that He has a sheepfold. Amen? If you look this word sheepfold up, it means an enclosure. Amen? It's a place to get away. Amen? It's a place where we can find rest this morning. Amen? It's a place where we can find peace this morning. Amen? It's a place where we can find deliverance this morning, or a healing this morning. Everything you could ever want, everything you could ever desire this morning, everything you could ever ask God, and everything, every blessing that flows through Yeshua is on this place called a sheepfold or an enclosure. I want you to realize this morning that the enclosure means that there is protection on all sides from the enemy. Amen? The enemy can jump over the gate. We know this because Yeshua said that all those that ever come before me are thieves and robbers, but they didn't care for the sheep. Meaning, if you don't go through this door this morning, are you with me? If you don't make it through the gate this morning, if you try to come in some other way, if you try to come in through the way of the Muslims, if you try to come in through the way of Buddha, if you try to come in through the way of President Trump or all the presidents that come before, if you try to come in through Billy Graham and A.A. Allen and all these great ministers that have ever come before us, you're coming in the wrong way this morning. You have to come through Yeshua. You have to come in through the gate. And when you come into the gate, I want you to realize this morning that the enemy cannot penetrate, because God is the greatest watchman that's ever been. Amen? He said He constantly, amen. I love the Psalms. It says He never slumbers or He never sleeps. His eyes are always open. Amen? He always is looking out for us this morning. He's always there for us. He's always wants something for us. But the problem isn't that the door is open this morning. I want to minister just for a brief moment of time that it's not that the door is open. It's that there are people that try to close our door to our blessings. Even ourselves, we try to close the door on our blessing. It makes me wonder why sometimes when God says that He opens doors that no one can shut, and He shuts doors that no one can open, amen, it makes me wonder sometimes why we see a lot of people in the church, amen, try to struggle with a door that's closed. Come on, church. Come on, synagogue, amen. Come on, followers of Yeshua, amen. Amen. We always try to struggle with the door that's closed, with the door that's locked. We want to know what's it. It makes me think of that old show, Let's Make a Deal. Amen. They open up door number one, and my God, it's eternal life. It's Yeshua. It's the greatest gift that could ever be, amen. It's green pastures, amen. Amen. It's living with God in His kingdom upon this earth. And then there's door number two. But it's closed. Amen. This morning. But it makes me realize, why would we choose door number two when we got door number one that's open unto us? It belongs to the ones that are in this enclosure. Or this sheepfold belong to the one who come through the door. That's Yeshua. Yeshua isn't only the door, but He's also the shepherd this morning. When He hung upon that cross and He died for your sins, I want you to think about this morning. What Jesus, what Yeshua was really doing was He was laying His life down upon the threshold of the sheepfold. Amen. Meaning, if you want to get in, you have to basically go through Him. There is no other way. There is no other sheepfold. There are those that try to say their pastures are green and try to say that their life is good on this door and inside of this fold, but the sheep won't hear the voice of strangers. I want you to realize that today. It says that to him, I want you to look at it. It says in verse number 3, it says, to him the doorkeeper opens and the sheep hear his voice. Amen. You have to be tuned in. Amen. Time after time in Revelations it says, he that have an ear, let him hear what the Ruach would say unto the church. Or what the Spirit would say unto the church. We have to have an ear to hear what Jesus, what Yeshua is saying this morning. Amen. We have to realize that we cannot follow, amen, every blessing, everything, everything that we want is through listening to Him. It's through listening to that still small voice, amen. It's not in the great earthquakes. Now, I don't know if you know, but down there in up there in California, they've been having 6.9 earthquakes rattle California. And I'm not saying that God can't speak through the earthquakes, but if you study through the life of Elijah, Elijah knew that God wasn't in the fire. He wasn't in the earthquake, but he was in the still, small voice of God, speaking to us every day of our life, telling us every day of our life, if you want rest, we can find it within the sheepfold of God. But how does the enemy try to steal? How does the enemy try to kill? How does the enemy try to destroy us, to get us to believe that there's something better outside of the sheepfold that he can offer us? The enemy tries to tell us to not listen. Ain't that the first trick that the devil tried to use in Adam and Eve? Is don't listen to what God says. He don't know what he's talking about. You can eat of this fruit and you won't die. It was the oldest trick in the book, and still to this day, this is what the enemy tries to use for us. He tries to make our ears turn from God and quit listening to God. Yes. The whole time Yeshua is saying, listen to me, I have something better for you. Something more extravagant for you. Something that the enemy cannot steal from you this morning. We let the enemy come in through the windows and steal our blessings when God says the open door is there for us. I love when he says in verse 29, he goes on and tells them that the sheep that are his, the enemy cannot steal them away. Amen. It says, matter of fact, when you read this on, it says that he is the good shepherd. Amen. That means he leads us to good places. Amen. It's not just within the sheepfold this morning. It's the fact that when we go into the sheepfold, we can go in and we can go out and we can find our pasture that we want. What is a pasture? It's green, amen. It's a place that we can rest our heads, amen. How many get tired of the same old tricks of the enemy? How many get tired of having to fight everything to try to get lost in the presence of God? That's my desire. I don't have any other desire this morning. I don't have some aspirations of being some big minister or to preach to thousands and millions and or to touch the lives of hundreds. If I could touch one to get them into the kingdom of God, if I can choose one person to say, I've had enough of where I am, I'm going through the door. Many times the enemy fights us before we ever get through those doors to the place that we worship God. Come on. Come on. Amen. Whether you have service on Saturday morning, Saturday night, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday morning, whatever time you have service, whatever time your church gathers together, the enemy's tricks are the same. The first thing, if you have service on Sunday morning, is you wake up and the enemy says, you know what, I'd rather lay back down. Come on. Oh, Saturday's a busy day, brother. Amen. I know that for sure. It's a miracle of God that I'm even off today. I usually have to work every Saturday, work on trucks. I work at a grocery store. The only grocery store in Newland, North Carolina is Ingalls. And man, we've been so busy. We done $90,000 in one day. That's a lot. And man, I'm just running back and forth. And when I get home, come on. When I get home, I want to stay there. Oh, I know Shabbat's Friday night or Saturday morning. You gather together and you do Shabbat. Amen. But I know that Friday night can be awfully busy sometimes. And you go home and you wake up Saturday and you say, you know, I know 10:45 comes awfully early, Brother Anthony. Amen. 10:45 comes awfully early. I don't know if I'm going to make it quite yet. The enemy always tries to whisper. Don't listen to God. Why would we listen to the enemy telling us when God has a door for us with all the blessing that He wants in our life? Why would we stay home when the Bible clearly says that we should not forsake the assembling of ourselves together, even no more, as we see the day approach? Amen. You may not agree with me. You may not look like me. You may not talk like me. But I can promise one thing. I got the same thing in common that every single one of the believers have that's in this world. Is I love the God who died for me. I worship Him. I praise Him. I honor Him. I give Him my life. I give Him my everything. It's time to stop letting all these differences stop us from worshiping God. The enemy's not scared of a church. The enemy's scared of a united people. That's what the enemy's scared of. The enemy knows when Israel becomes united and overtaking what once was theirs, that the enemy's time is short. Oh, we'll try to burn up everything right now because we know our time is short. Hamas, you better know this. God is fixing to rise up like a mighty warrior. And He's about to take that same fire. And I believe with all my heart that God is going to take a missile. Those missiles that intend to take the Jewish lives. Those missiles that try to take the lives of God's people. And He's going to direct that missile right there to the Temple Mount. And He's going to destroy that abomination that stands there. You better mark it down because God is going to do it. Where are you at? God makes it personal. In verse 7, it says, so Yeshua said again, I tell you, I am. These are one of the I am statements that Yeshua made. Yes. He says, I am the gate. Or the door. In Revelation chapter 3, I want you to turn there. Keep your place in John chapter 10. We'll go back. Revelation chapter 3. And I thought it was awful, awful confirming of the message that God gave me last week. When I was speaking to Rabbi Joe, he said that God had given him a message for the people there at the conference about the key of David. And so he spoke about the keys of David. And I thought it was confirming because there's keys to the door. And so I thought it was all confirming of the message. Revelation chapter 3, it speaks of three doors. Isn't it ironic that there were three doors in the tabernacle. There was the gate by which you had to enter in through first to even get to the outer court. Then there was another separation point to get into the holy place where the menorah was, where the table of shewbread was, where the altar of incense was, which we learned about this morning through the teaching. And then there was another separation point called the veil. That at the time of Yeshua, when He was on this earth, was 4 foot thick. It wasn't some kind of just little thin piece of fabric. But they had taken every single one of the priest's robes and sewed them in to the veil, making it over 4 foot thick. And that is where, when you enter in through that place, amen, come on, that's where life was, that's where the ark was, that's where only the high priest. And it wasn't until the day that Yeshua was crucified, and it said that as He died on the cross, and as He says, "It is finished," that the veil tore. We think a tore is just tore, but my Bible says it rent, meaning it completely was separated. A 4 foot thick veil separated. For the first time in history, normal men, normal women that were standing there, they would have been gathered together because it was Pesach, it was Passover. All the nations, all the Jewish people would have been gathered at this feast waiting for the priest to come in and make their offering. I don't believe they could make an offering because I personally don't believe the ark was there. I personally believe Jeremiah hid the ark. So they were just doing show. Come on. They were just going there for show. But for the first time in history, people could see through the door into life. We got people that are trying to redo the veil. There are people in our life that are trying to sew up the veil in our life. Come on. There are people, everyone ain't out for our own good. Is it okay if I walk around a little bit? Is it okay if I minister just for a little bit? People tried to take our way into God and try to sew it back up. And we let them. We let the enemy take up and repatch a veil that God has torn in our life. All we have to do is freely take our feet and walk through it. It's free. There's nothing keeping us back from the ultimate presence of God. The veil is no more. You ain't hearing me this morning. I said the veil is no more. No man, no pastor, no church, no congregation can take what God has opened and close it back. God said, no. I'm going to make it to where you can't. Could you imagine if the priest there would have tried to take a 4 foot veil and begin to restitch it? How long it would have took for them to do it? It would have been impossible. It would have took them forever to do this. Meaning the way that God made. I love it when He said it. He said, "I am the way." He's not just the way, but He's also the truth. He's also the life. But it's all through Him. It's making that commitment to Him this morning and realizing that what's in the sheepfold is better than what the world wants to offer us. We can go in, meaning we can come inside this place, this synagogue this morning, and we can get what we need, and we don't have to leave it here. He says those that come in can go out and come in and go out and come in, and everywhere we go, we can find pasture. Everywhere we go, we can find peace. Everywhere we go, we can find a deliverance from God. But most of the time, we wait till we're in the pews. Most of the time we wait, but David said, my cup overflows every day. He said, when God is there, He is my shepherd. He said, He leads me. Do you realize that's what it said here in John chapter 10? He says, He goes before me. Ah, oh, come on. Meaning whatever place we find ourselves in, Christ, the Messiah, is already there. Whew. Oh man, every situation, every hard time, every time we go in our minds, you know, most of the time, the reason why we don't get any victory is because we don't think Messiah is in the place we are. But David said in the Psalms, if I make my bed in hell, you're still there, God. You're already there. There's no situation that we can find ourselves unless we convince ourselves that God isn't there. Unless we convince ourselves that there's no way in this depression that God can be there. Oh, yeah, there's a way. He is the way. And if we'd only realize that this morning, if we'd only realize that through depression, through anxiety, through everything that the world tries to throw at us, God is already there. Amen. He leads us. Most of the time when we see images of the shepherd carrying the sheep, we often think, what an image. But you know that a shepherd will not carry a sheep unless it first breaks his legs. It don't mean much until you're that lost sheep. Amen. Amen? It don't mean much until you're that sheep that begins to stray away from the voice of God. And when we begin to stray away from the voice of God, we'll find ourselves in some awful, awful places. Doesn't mean He's not there. He will leave the 99 and search for that one sheep. And when He finds that sheep, He'll get it. But just in case He doesn't want to, but He knows if He doesn't, that sheep will continue to stray away from the sheepfold, so it'll break His leg. Oh, we want to be carried by God, but we don't want to be broken. We want the anointing, but we don't want to be crushed, do we? We want the results, but we don't want the process, do we? Amen. I'm telling you, there's a process this morning. There's a process to get through it. Revelation 3 talks of three doors. In verse number 7, it says, "And to the angel of Messiah's community in Philadelphia write, thus says the Holy One, the True One, who has the key of David, who opens and no one will shut, and who shuts and no one opens. I know your deeds. Behold, I have set before you an open door, that no one, oh man, is able to shut, because you have little power, but you have kept my word and have not denied my name. Behold, I will cause those of the synagogue of Satan who say they are Jewish and are not, but lie. Behold, I will cause them to come and bow down before your feet so they may acknowledge that I have loved you." Messiah said He's opened a door that no one can shut. This is the first door. The door that He opens that no one can shut. We make it so difficult to get inside the kingdom of God, but it's wide open this morning. It's only a choice. It's only your choice whether or not you want to walk through the door that God has opened for us. The second door talks about is the door that He shuts and no one can open. There are a lot of doors in our life. Amen. Come on. There are a lot of doors in our life. Amen. Choices in our life. Amen. Do I take this door or do I take this door? Well, I'm going to tell you this morning, it's real easy. There are only a few doors that we can open and we can close. As a matter of fact, we have no power to open doors or close them. Only God does. Only Christ. He says, I can do nothing without Him, but with God, all things are possible. Meaning Christ, meaning Messiah, can open a door in our life, open an opportunity in our life. And man, I tell you, the enemy hates the opportunities of God. Every time an opportunity presents itself, amen, it seems like the enemy just says, let me throw a stumbling block in your way. Let me throw one of them old door locks, amen. You ever seen one of those door locks? They prop it up against the door. No matter how hard you try to open it, it won't come open. But Christ says it's open. No man can shut it. The enemy can't even shut it. Come on. Meaning the blessings of our life, the enemy cannot shut your opportunity to come to God. Only we have that. He's not going to force us to go through the door. He's not going to force us to commune with Him. He just opens it. He says every day is an opportunity. It's not just Saturday, church. I hate to break it to you. It's not just Saturday to wait till Saturday to come to our Yehuda to come for Zion's sake. Amen. It's not just Saturday to come in and get our blessing and then leave our blessing here on these altars. No, no, no. Because I promise you, the first day of the week, Monday comes, Sunday comes, Tuesday comes, there'll be blocks. Why would we struggle with the second door that we have no power to open? Because God has shut it. Many open doors that God shuts are for our own good. I remember dating my wife. And I got a call. I'm originally from South Carolina, Greenville, South Carolina. That's where I was born and raised, and I didn't come up here till about 2004. I made the journey. My mom had moved up and married a man in Newland, North Carolina, and I had a lot of doors that were shut that I broke into. Opportunities that God didn't want me. You know, God doesn't want us to go through things. He doesn't desire for us to go through things, but He wants us to realize that even when we go through those things that we ourselves cause, He's still there. Amen. Ain't it wonderful that Yeshua finds us at His worst and offers His best? There's no other God that's ever done that. In the history of the world, there's no other so-called God that has ever done that. There's no other person that can open doors that no one can shut. And then He says there's doors that are shut. You remember when Noah built the ark. And Noah built the ark and God told Noah, and I can only imagine that the people there that were there in that day, they'd never even heard of this thing called rain. They'd never even... What do you mean rain? What is rain? It had never rained. It said a mist come up from the earth and watered the grounds. They'd never heard of this thing called rain. Thought Noah was crazy until it started raining. Amen? And Noah standing there at an open door ark. Can you picture it? This morning, begging and pleading for the people to come into the ark. There's safety in here. If you don't come in, God's going to flood and you all die. Standing begging for their lives at the door. And it says Noah didn't shut the door. God shut the door. Can you picture the people knocking as the rain began to get deep and the waters begin to overflow them and they begin to swim for their lives, even if they knew how to swim. Amen. And they begin to beg, Noah, open the door. And Noah crying probably, trying to open the door, but he could not open what God had shut. I'm not a person that gets visions awful, an awful lot. But I remember one that happened early in my ministry. And I was in our church there in Elk Park. And there was just very few inside. But the doors were chain locked. And there were thousands of people on the outside that wanted to come in. But we couldn't open it. You say, what does that mean, Brother David? It means that we better make up our mind while we still have time. God has given us grace. I believe God has given us 4 years. I don't know. A lot of people believe that God's going to give us 4 more years of grace. I hope so. I hope He does. I hope God says, I'll give you 4 more years. But we better know one thing. When those 4 years are done, we better be inside the door. Because it's not that God doesn't want people to come in. It's God shuts the door because He knows that there's something coming. That He doesn't want to get inside the sheepfold. We'll get back to the third one. But the second one, remember the virgins. 5 were wise, 5 were foolish. It said, while the 5 foolish ones went to go and find oil, that God came and shut the doors. Church, we better get what we need right now. We better get what we need right now. Time is running short this morning. If you have not made it up in your mind to get on the other side of that door. I don't have a personal door here this morning, but I believe this altar is a spiritual door. And I believe some of you in here this morning have contemplated in your mind, is it worth going through the threshold of the door or not? The Bible says in John chapter 10, on back in John chapter 10, He says, anyone... He says, if anyone goes through the door, that means you. That means me. That means your lost loved ones. That means those that need a healing, those that need a deliverance, those that need a resting place. Amen. Those that need a place to get fed inside the pasture. There's a place to be watered. There's a place to be fed. The manna from heaven. All these things are found within the sheepfold. And He says, anyone. Meaning no one's excluded. No one. That means the murderer. That means the one. That means the prostitute. Amen. That's what people need to realize. It's not that they can't change. It's that God wants them just to make it in their mind to go in. When are we going to let God clean the outside and worry about what's on the inside of a person? Well, amen, Walt. It's not what's on the outside that defiles a man, but that which is on the inside. And if you would only go through the gate. I love how Yeshua puts everything He does in a personal setting. And all we have to do is go through it. You would not only be saved, just saved. That's a great thing to be saved. It says you shall be saved. It's not an if. It's not some kind of clause. It says that all you have to do to be saved is to believe that Yeshua is the Son of God. Amen. Go through the door and you shall be saved. Meaning those enemies that chase you, they can't get through the door because guess what? The shepherd is there and he's watching. He said, oh, there's a beloved. There's a beloved. There's somebody. But no, there's the enemy. I'm going to step right in front. And he can't come through this door. I don't know if you feel it, but I do. You would be saved. It says that you would go in and out and find a restful space in whatever situation you're in. Meaning you cannot just find peace here this morning, but you can also find peace in your car, in your job. Oh, come on. Some of the greatest times I've ever had in God was in the dairy cooler at Food Line. I worked at Food Line grocery store for a little bit, and a guy come up to me and asked me, he was going through some things, and he said, can you pray for me? And most of the time when people say, can you pray for me, we say, yeah, we will. When we get home. But no, 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 no. It's right now. You heard the man. We're not promised tomorrow. Today is the day of salvation. Amen. We're not promised our next breath. What we're promised is right now. And he said, you sure we might get in trouble? I said, I don't care. Go in a 32-degree cooler. And we went in, and we shut the door. And I don't know what them people thought on the outside, because I started speaking in tongues. And I don't know what them people thought was going on inside that dairy cooler. We started saying in Yeshua's name, in Jesus' name, amen, praying. Amen. I put my hand on his chest and we begin to pray for his situation. Amen. And still to this day, that man, when he sees me, comes up and says, God always reminds me of that day. We can shut doors or try to shut doors that God is opening for people and opening for you. Why not take that opportunity? I know my wife, she's very quiet. She's a shy type. She sees a light, she'll turn the other way. She don't like to be in the spotlight. I say, well, man, my God, you're a pastor's wife. You're just going to have to get used to it. But she don't like to be called out. Amen. But still, when God gives her an open door, you have to take it. Take that door. Don't be worried about the outcome. Don't be worried about if they're going to go through it. That's their decision. It's their decision. But God gives the increase. All we have to do is plant the seed. All we have to do is water the seed. There are seeds that have been planted back in the 60s that people are still watering today. In whatever situation we're in, we can find a restful space. The third door is in Revelation 3, verse 20. And I believe that last song you were going to play was Kadosh. Yes. Could you get that ready, please? The third door. The third door is the door of your heart. Here in Revelation 3, verse 20, it says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. You know, when a stranger comes to our door and begins to knock, we got two choices, don't we? choose to ignore the knock. And here's the thing, if you choose to ignore the knock of God, sooner or later, He'll stop knocking. Because He knows that He's not welcome in that house. It says, if anyone hears my voice and opens the door. It's the door of your heart this afternoon. Just as the Hebrew people in Exodus had to take the blood of the lamb, where did they have to apply it? At the doorpost. They had to physically take the blood of the lamb and apply it to the doorpost and into the lintel. And just as only salvation was found, and it wasn't a death angel, God said He would pass through. We need to realize He brought it. And He said that when He would get to a door that had the blood applied to the door, that He would pass over that house. Meaning any person, and you can study it, it wasn't just the Jewish people that found deliverance. It says there were sojourners that went with them in the wilderness. Meaning there were Egyptians that went in the wilderness with them. Amen. They found deliverance inside a door that had blood. Amen. Come on, this morning. If you don't have the blood applied to your doorposts of your hearts this morning, not some physical door. God doesn't demand. He said, I never wanted tables of stone. I wanted tables in your heart. I wanted to write them in your heart. Amen. I wanted to write them in your mind. You heard it this morning. Have them as frontlets between your eyes. Write them upon your heart. Meaning that men can break that which is on stone. But it's inscribed in your heart. You're not going to break it, brother. Amen. You're going to keep it. You're going to do whatever you have to because it's in your heart. Where your heart is, that's where your treasure is. And this morning we got to take the blood before we can go through God's door. He has to come through our door. Could we all stand this morning? He says He's standing at the door and He's knocking. He said if only we would open the doors of our hearts, that He would come in and He would sip with us. He would dine with us. Amen. He would make it personal. He would come into our house. If we would let Him through our doors, then He, in return, would let us through His door. I have nothing to offer Him. All I had to offer God was a broken life of alcohol, of drugs, of pornography, of all types of things. Oh, I come from a hard life. You can look through my eyes and I can tell you some of the things I did. That's what God came into. And He said, I'm coming into your door and I'm going to tell you what. I'm going to evict every trespasser that's ever come through your door. And I'm going to tell them this is no longer your house. This is my house and only I am welcome here. Is Jesus speaking to you this morning? If you would just open your door, He would open His. And through that door this morning, is life. Not just any life, but life more abundantly. Are you really living your life this morning? While this song plays, maybe God has been knocking at your door. Maybe you haven't answered it yet. God said, all you got to do is just open the door and say, Jesus, Yeshua, I want you to come in. I want you to dine with me. Maybe you've opened that door, but maybe you're scared to take His. Messiah said, if you'll just come in, that you can find rest. You can find deliverance. You can find whatever you need through me. Let's give you a few moments as this plays. I know this word is for somebody in here this morning. Your door's not closed. Messiah said, I've set before you an open door. No one can close it. Will you make your way up to the altar and say, Lord, I'm going to walk through this door. No longer will I let the enemy block my path. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me. I love when it says, You'll lead me beside the still water. You restore my soul. My cup is overflowing this morning. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name.
Great message about the door. So we're going to give you an opportunity to bless this family. They come from Newland. That's a little bit of a distance this morning. And if you make out a check, we'll let you make it out to them, because I don't have any way of writing a check this morning. So we'll dismiss you. We have own eggs, so don't forget to go over and eat something. I know we got quite a bit. We got some food over there, so. Please partake of that this morning and stay with us just a little longer. If you'll rise, I'll give the Aaronic blessing, and then you can bring your gifts this morning. And the Lord spoke to Moses, and he said, "This is how you will bless my people when they come before me, and I will come and visit them." Yivakar Adonai vayishmarecha, Yo Adonai panavelecha vikunika, Yisa Adonai panavelecha vayasim lecha shalom. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift his countenance upon you and give you peace in the name of Yeshua the HaMashiach, the Son of God, our Savior. Be blessed today. Shabbat Shalom. Shabbat Shalom.